Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, folks. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're virtual still. We're not yet back in our home in Renaissance Bank, but we look forward to getting back soon. But in the meantime, I just want to give a shout out to Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. She's awesome, and I use her services myself, so I know of what I'm speaking of. But if you've got some problems that involve administrative tasks, you know, the basics of running your business, maybe you got some bookkeeping problems, go engage Essie. Give her a call at 770-442-9246. Her firm is Office Angels, and she's got a whole team of angels that she can pick the best one for you, and they fly in, get the job done, and fly back out. They've been virtual for 18 years, so they know how this works, the current environment we're in. So give Essie a call if you have any of those issues, and she'll be glad to help you. I want to welcome Evelyn Asher, and Evelyn is a strategic communications coach and has her own practice. And Evelyn, I've been looking forward to having you on the show.
It's a delight, John, after listening to so many of your informative interviews.
Well, thank you. And I look forward to this one being just as informative because you do some great work. Why don't you give everybody an overview of you and the work that you do? How are you helping folks out there?
Well, particularly today, helping with clear communication messages. I love to work with women in technology who are under great demands and with little recognition to help them communicate more effectively with all the stakeholders. Making sure that the why is addressed, not just from one person and not from the technology person's perspective, but what are the stakeholders looking for? What does that mean to them individually? And it includes a lot of report writing as well, because the clearer the communication, the smoother the production will go.
There's a lot there. And when you're talking about, let's start with technology. I mean, when you're talking about technology, I take it you're talking about the importance of being able to express technical terms in ways that folks like me can understand it.
I coached a systems analyst, and she was with a $4 million IT consultancy firm, and the owner of the firm saw great promise that he wanted her to take over his position, but she didn't have the business acumen to ask the right questions. So I worked with her. We studied many case studies, Harvard Business Review case studies, and looked at things from all stakeholders' perspectives. It was quite an enlightening experience. It didn't take long for her, though I did work with her for over 7 months. Within a month, she was asking, the director told me that she's asking far better questions.
I want to get to that quickly here, because when you're talking about asking questions, see, people don't view asking questions as part of how you express yourself, how you communicate. You know, that comes from me if I'm communicating, right? But questions and asking the good questions involve getting at the other person in your audience.
Correct. If you're speaking with HR, or if you're speaking with operation, you're speaking with a finance department. Each one is different.
Let's talk a little bit about making your communication persuasive and clear. How do you counsel your clients on this?
I can only remember as short as yesterday, somebody having 10 words that could have been condensed into two.
Oh, and you may be talking about me, but no. Yeah.
Or having this long introduction when the stakeholders want to get to the point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And so what are the secrets of that? I mean, how do you walk your clients through that?
It's just practice. Mm. Just practice. Mm-hmm. And if it's in a written communication, whether it's a report or a request for proposal, that's a lot of times where too much is said and what the stakeholder's looking for, the funder's looking for, could even be a nonprofit, is different than what is on the paper, what's asked for. Because it doesn't address the mission of the organization. The numbers. Oh, once I was told, just ask to edit overnight some proposal that was to go to a hedge fund. Mm. And I was asked only grammar and spelling, nothing else. And well, I turned it back because with full edits of 5 pages of logistics that were totally incorrect. They were not in the timeline that they should have been. Mm-hmm. And when a person would have taken it to the hedge fund, in the original form, they would have just said, come back at another time. Mm. Because why would you want 2010 here and layered on 2003 and a place in China versus someplace in Iowa where they're going to have the openings. They have to see it clearly.
Right.
Very clearly. I was very fortunate, John. I worked for top strategic directors at Siemens ICN. And even though that was just a year, it was an everyday, wonderful philosophy and learning experience.
That
was a chance to hone everything.
I was going to ask you about that, so you led me into that. Tell me a little bit about your journey, how you got from, where you've come from, your experiences along the way in terms of getting to where you are today.
Well, I started in Toledo, Ohio, and I was a real estate salesperson, then a broker, and I did a lot of relocation. So I had an opportunity to work with corporate executives. So I was very comfortable with them. And then when I moved to South Florida, I worked in a publishing company that was a division of Times Mirror. It was CRC Press, and that was a wonderful 7-year ride. And I earned my undergraduate degree at that time, but I worked in the marketing department there too, where things always change on a dime, where the electronic books just came into being, where I was told by the vice president, gee, you're good at analyzing this. She didn't expect me to analyze what I was putting before her. So then I moved to South Florida, and I was fortunate to work for Siemens. I had another short run with being concert director. But even being concert director, I had two lay persons that asked me the best questions. If I was excited that so many tickets were sold for the concert during very hard times, they'd say, well, how did that compare to last year? They taught me so much. Mm-hmm. first 6 months, and, you know, kept trying things different ways because, like today, very challenging times.
For sure. Folks, we're here chatting with Evelyn Asher, and she's a strategic communications coach specifically for women in technology. So why women in technology? I mean, of all the different individuals and groups you could have targeted your practice for, why women in technology?
Well, again, I didn't mention I was director of the Small Business Center for Caldwell Community College and Technical Institute in Hudson and Boone, North Carolina, for 3.5 years. Had some phenomenal professional development there and interaction in a 45-institution network. But then when I moved back here because my house didn't sell in Gainesville, and I moved back here in 2014, I went on Upwork, which a freelance site, and I was fortunate to connect with a IT consultancy in Australia. And my first client was a systems analyst. And she is a phenomenal individual, taking care of a line of transportation needs for the whole region. But again, it was her lack of opportunity to have professional development while she was working. So I coached her, was on the weekends. And I so enjoyed the experience, and I could see the gaps. And so that's how I like to fill them out for other people as well. I did have some, hold some round tables for women in technology. And at first I did them monthly, then bi-monthly and quarterly, but now I'm going into a mastermind, but limiting it only to 6 people. And what I am told is that the greatest appreciation is being heard, being visible, being listened to radically, and the value perceived as it is given. And so many women in technology now, the gentlemen also, they're working for new people or new teams, and they have to coordinate with, you know, new remote leaders. So it's just a matter of making them comfortable. They may come, as you said, with a problem, but I've learned to turn problems into challenges. And when they leave, they feel better about themselves, more confident.
That's awesome work. You said something there that really hit me in a good way, that you help people with expressing the value that they are delivering so that it's immediately perceived. I mean, that's really important.
Well, I will say you hammered home to me, and it has been close to 3 years, and I take that internally and question myself. And so I question the other people and help them become more visible. First of all, add to their value, because they don't realize how else they can present themselves other than to their employer. There's a larger world out there. As our friend Greg Burkhalter would say, personal brand.
Yep. And, for sure. For sure. Let's talk about the understanding how others perceive you. You do some work with your clients on this topic, and this is really important, right?
Yes, we sit one-on-one, and I might ask them for an example of how they approached a certain situation. And then I take the stakeholder's perspective and bring it in there and show them how they are perceived in that way. Mm. And when I was at the Small Business Center at Caldwell also, I would have entrepreneurs and seasoned business owners both come in, and I would show them how they are perceived on the internet. When somebody dials them in, they say, oh my goodness, you know, this is something we want to address, or this is something I've left out. Mm. You know, just, you're so good at bringing that out of other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. But you are, I think we all have this cognitive bias, right? I mean, and this is part of being human. This is not anything to be ashamed of. You know, we all see things from our perspective. So it's really important to have someone like you that can be a mentor, a mirror, maybe is another way to put it, that can help folks get a handle on how they're communicating, how they're coming across versus what they think they're saying.
That's correct, especially being culturally intelligent.
Mm. Now, say more about that.
Well, I will, in our current environment, I am listening, partaking in many uncomfortable conversations so that I can be a better person, so that I can understand more deeply where other people are coming from, and specifically women in technology. Two, I value there's a Women in Technology sponsors Living Life as Black, and it's a phenomenal webinar. I can't wait for the second part to come up. Mm. Very informative. So what I learned from that, if I see a communication or I see how somebody is communicating, I can show them a different perspective.
And Evelyn, one of the things you mentioned here in some of the notes that you gave us ahead of time was something that's really important for you is creating space for wonder in every day. Now that's, and I bring that up right now because it sounds like what you mentioned, learning about getting past our preconceptions about race, for example, that's what you're trying to do there. I mean, you're trying to dig in to someplace and create a little wonder about, hey, you know, what I need to understand more.
Definitely. I've been in a tracking wonder circle, a quest with Jeffrey Davis, who's a psychologist who writes for Psychology Today. And it's always encouraging us to go on wonder walks, break our day after your interview. Just go outside for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing what you can hear in those 5 minutes, or see, you know, receive a greeting. There's just so much. So that keeps a freshness about everything that I do, being able to look at things with fresh eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have a group called the Wisdom Collective. Why don't you tell folks a little bit more about what that's all about?
That started about 18 months ago as Third Act Pathways to Resilience. And I started with having a conversation with a woman who teaches theology to East African women. And we were just talking about our resilience. We had met in a writing group a while back, and we had our own conversation, said, well, let's open this up a little more. So we did, and we had conversations once a month. And there were women, again, from across the United States and across the pond. And then my friend had a health challenge, so I just took it over and renamed it as the Wisdom Collective. And through the pandemic, I held 18, started late March, 13 complimentary sessions to just engage women to hear different perspectives of how we were handling the pandemic. And I have a writing component to it, so I have different prompts. We talked about being a container, and we are all containers of many, of multitudes. And we talked about how windows and voices, the voices we shut out, those that we encourage in, and last Saturday, we had just such a beautiful sharing, and I'm going to be publishing some of the responses, and that'll be an exciting anthology. It'll be a recording of this time in history as well.
And is this a group that others that might be listening to this can join, or how does that work? Or is this,
this is a
private group?
They're welcome to do that. Okay. Welcome to join.
Okay.
I have a closed Facebook group, but all you have to do is ask to come in, and I would love to have whoever would like to join. And it's multi-generational, which makes it even more enriching.
That's great. That's awesome.
And of course, they can always find me on my website.
Sure.
EvelynAsher.com.
Oh, okay. So, Evelyn, one thing I'm curious about with you, I mean, as I listen to you talk and read your background, I mean, you've had quite a varied background. Talk about the value of, I guess, having such a varied background in terms of what you're able to do with your clients today.
Thank you. I feel that the benefit of that is helping them explore their next adventure. I've talked with many women in technology who have had a commitment, you know, for 20 years. It's not easy for us to schedule getting together because, as one woman said, oh, I have to show my new manager everything about the warehouse. So, but it's wonderful to be with him again, to explore their new adventure, to find it and remain curious. That's what I love to help people do. Remain curious. And so many people, while they have their position, they may be giving 40% of it now because they're challenged at home with two people working from home, or a single mother with three children working from home. There are so many challenges, but they're... And so those same people are looking for a new job at the same time. So I just help them take little bites out of the elephant at one time.
So let's talk about how you work with your clients. I mean, you mentioned the Wisdom Collective, and that's a group. That's a little bit different, but you've got folks that you work with one-on-one in their communication. So how does it work? I'm a woman in technology, and I approach you for help. How does that conversation go, and how do you work with someone like that?
It's usually one-on-one and for at least a three-month commitment. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I listen to what they are doing, where they would like to go, but I also show them other avenues and other ways to become visible so that they don't always have to be the ones chasing. Mm. They can attract people for articles, you know, that they've written that they never thought of doing. And then also, if they have a report coming up, I have someone that I'm working with, and she has a salary negotiation coming up. Mm-hmm. With a new opportunity. And so she has all her value written down. I said, please, before you present it, we'll go over it one more time, because sometimes there's a word or, you know, something might be offensive, a little too rough, a little too forward. And again, just showing the perspective of the other person. And I've always in my when I meet one-on-one, I also share quite generously all my resources that I've compiled over 20 years. And my clients appreciate that. And they're so busy, so they can't be everywhere. Just like the managers that I use, directors of strategic planning that at Siemens where I worked. And I loved it. You know, but they're doing what they do on a regular basis. But if I can bring them a little morsel that helps them with their thinking or with a negotiation or approaching a vendor, find the most current news, that's what I enjoy doing.
That's good work.
I enjoy lifting other people. Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
That's awesome.
Lifting them and elevating their communication.
Yeah. Yeah. Evelyn, this is great. And it's been a pleasure to have you and to hear your story and how you help folks. But we've got to make sure they can get in touch with you, right? So why don't you give places that they can connect with you, how they can be in touch?
Well, LinkedIn is always perfect. Mm-hmm. And my website again is evelynasher.com. I am on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and as close as my email. And for those who still like to pick up the phone, it's 828-719-7227.
What about that? A personal conversation, right? Who knew it was still in style? I love it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't mention that I've done a lot of editing on academic research. So I've had that value added to my knowledge base. I started that business in 2001 and kept it even while I was working full time in some dynamic positions that I thoroughly enjoyed and built a global network of friendships.
Well, this has been great. And, thanks for all you do and the help you provide. And it's been a pleasure having you, Evelyn.
Thank you. It's been my honor. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you so much. Folks, just a quick reminder, as I mentioned, we are normally inside Renaissance Bank, and we look forward to getting back there one of these days whenever the pandemic subsides. But in the meantime, we love the folks at Renasant because we know firsthand about the great work that they've done with small businesses in and around our area here in the North Fulton area. And if you want a more personal experience with your bank, that, and you're not getting that right now, go connect with them. Go to renasantbank.com. They've got offices across the South, 200, as a matter of fact, open, ready to serve you. They're just not open for you to walk in. You have to call ahead and make an appointment. So go ahead and do that, or go through the drive-through. They can actually open up an account through the drive-through, believe it or not. But they've got great folks that are staying ready to help. RenasantBank.com, Renasant Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And folks, just a quick reminder that you can find this show on all the major podcast apps. North Fulton Business Radio is the search term. We'd love it if you could go rate us, review us, give us a 5-star rating. And that's not about me. It's about promoting the great work of the folks that we have on this show. So folks that out there that might need the services of Evelyn and others that we've had on this show, over 260 over the last 4 years, they can easily find them. So we would appreciate that. You can also connect with us on social media, North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. So for my guest, Evelyn Asher, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.